The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by Comcast, North Shore University Health System, PNC, and Miller Lite. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody. We are back at it from PNC Studio at Hallis Hall in Lake Forest and the very first edition of the 2016 version of the Bears Coaches Show featuring head coach John Fox. I'm Jeff Joniak, and we're with you until 7:30 tonight. Coach Fox, until the top of the hour, final week of the preseason upon you. How you doing?
Well, we're hanging in there. I think everybody was pretty disappointed in the performance on Saturday versus Kansas City. I think we looked at the tape, made the evaluations, and had some of those evaluations today. Had a good practice, and as we get ready for Cleveland.
You got some special things to say to the fellas at this point?
Yeah, I think being consistent, coming ready to play, especially at home. I think there's a lot to be fixed. I think that was probably as rough a first half as I've watched in a while, and I'm sure it was for our fans, too.
You kind of scared me today because you said that, and you said now, just now, in a while. Earlier today, you didn't have the in a while. It scared me a little bit because, I mean, it wasn't good, obviously, but you've been coaching for a long darn time, so that scared me a little bit.
Yeah, no, it was, I think we just didn't perform very well. I think first eight plays offensively, we had eight missed assignments, so that doesn't help you, and that's tough for anybody to overcome, including us.
You know, you mentioned home, too, and that's been something even before you got here. It's been several years now. Is it become a red flag in figuring out why it's such a slower issue here in Chicago when you're playing home games?
I don't really believe so. I can't speak for before me. I know last year we were not very good at 1-7, in the regular season. So, a lot of that sometimes in my experience has been, who you're playing, where you're playing as far as on the road and at home as far as the team you're playing. I think we played two pretty good teams, actually the first and second defenses from a year ago in Denver and Kansas City, which isn't an excuse at all. We're capable of better. We know it. Our players know it. Our staff knows it. And now we just got to prove it.
The other thing about that is the silver lining in all this. You mentioned mental error, mental mistakes. I mean, those are correctable.
Yeah, they are.
They're not physical.
But, when you practice and prepare like we do, and basically it's an open book test, you script it, you know it, then there's still errors. We're not making that transition right now as well as we need to be as far as knowing what to do, how to do it, and be able to execute it under pressure. And I think not a lack of effort. It's not a lack of want to. There's almost an edginess on not making mistakes. And you can't play football, the National Football League, careful or cautious.
And I'm not trying to make excuses for the team by any means, but is it also a byproduct potentially of the now younger football team, A, and B, just some of these new guys? I mean, the roster's changed dramatically in 2 years.
Yeah, I think, it is guys that are, still young in their development, learning to play. But not exclusively. We have a lot of new faces, even with free agents, guys that have been veterans with other teams. They're still new to us, new to what we're doing. It takes a little bit of a transition, and we've got to be able to make that next step, and I think we'll be better for it as we move forward.
Got to say, a total bummer about Connor Shaw, because you naturally keep your eyes on him because he's exciting. He's got a toughness that exudes right out of his pores of his skin. He did it that way in college, too. So he suffers a pretty significant leg injury. And that, it seems like, has transferred over to the court. I mean, Willie Young was commenting on it today. It was a bummer. It's a bummer for that kid.
Yeah, there's no doubt. He's a great young man, one we're very excited to have in our organization. It's unfortunate and untimely. But, he had his surgery. He'll hopefully be getting out of the hospital here pretty soon. And we'll start the rehab process. He'll be in the building. He'll be in that meeting room, and he can still be an inspiration to all those guys that are in that quarterback room.
Broken leg?
Oh, yeah, he broke both the tibia and the fibula, had it repaired. It was above the ankle, so it didn't involve ligaments, which is good sign. It helps in the rehab process. It's very painful, though. Anytime they do that surgery, it is painful. But he's a tough young man, and you know, one that's really heavy on our mind and in our prayers.
Yeah, but for a minute, he's exciting to watch, isn't he?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, he was inspiring, and that's the kind of players you want, the kind of people you want, and you know, he wasn't concerned about who was in, who was playing wide out, who was playing offensive line. He just went and played and did it very well.
Well, news of the day today, Zach Miller, Eddie Royal not cleared after some lengthy concussion protocol. Importance of that just even for these next 2 weeks because, yes, the preseason ends Thursday, but there's still time to get ready for Houston. Just the timing of the passing game's got to be a significant upgrade with those two guys getting now back on the practice field.
Yeah, we're hoping that we're near complete healthy. You know, as we start Houston preparation, we still want to get through the Cleveland and Cleveland Browns and the Cleveland Brown preparation, take a look at that part of the roster, make our final decisions on the 53, and hopefully we'll be whole and healthy by then as we prepare for Houston.
The flu bug's still biting a bit, huh?
Yeah,
we've
had a bunch of it going around. Ted Larson was out today with it. So hopefully we're seeing it slow down some because we had probably about six guys sick.
Yeah, I mean, it seems more than that. And, I mean, you bring the team together after practice every day. You give them some instruction. Was washing your hands one of them over
yes.
the course of the past 2 weeks? Wash as much as possible.
Oh, well, we disinfected every major room in our building. But
I have a feeling you'd be kind of ticked if you happened to get the bug, you know?
Yeah.
The head coach cannot be getting the bug right now.
Well, everybody's got to avoid it. We say in football there's hands to the face is a foul, so it is in our building, too.
John Fox with us in the first Coach's Show of 2016 as we look through the preseason here and see what's coming up here in the coming weeks. Obviously, some of the game wasn't great, but there were some individual performances at times that flashed. And I come to think of John Timu coming out of nowhere. You know, forget about that time speed, the mental speed of him coming downhill, cracking somebody. That looks good. That feels good to a defensive-minded coach.
Yeah, no doubt. I think John's done a great job of, you know, developing a pro body, cutting weight, gaining some speed and quickness. So he's, I think he's shown pretty well this training camp, this preseason. And, you know, he's a guy that I think's, you know, learning to understand our system way better as well. So he's playing faster.
And Cam Meredith.
Yeah, I think Cam, you know, even looking at the KC game a year ago where we won in Kansas City, you know, he had a big game in that game in the regular season a year ago. And, you know, he played pretty good this last week as well.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Takes the snap. Pressure on the outside. He steps up against it. Now rolling to his right. Throwing over the middle. Caught Meredith. Five. Lunges into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown Bears.
Well, in the post game with Tom Fair, he gives out the MVP award. And, you know, we wanted to give it to Cam Meredith despite the loss to Kansas City. But given what happened to Connor Shaw, we gave it to Connor Shaw because he did bring some spark. The player of the game brought to you by Xfinity. We wish him a healthy recovery. He'll be around at Hallis Hall and learning that. And sometimes that's very helpful. He's still a very young quarterback, but he's got all sorts of assets.
Yeah, there's no doubt his intangibles are pretty incredible. He's, you know, kind of a special young man. He's, you know, he doesn't make excuses. He just goes out and plays, and usually you like what you see.
Yeah, those type of guys sit well with you, don't they?
Oh, no doubt. I think, you know, he's made a big impression, I know, on his teammates as well as his coaches. And, you know, whether it's on offense or myself as the head coach, you know, that's why you hate to see something like that happen to that fine of a young man. But he'll be back in a stronger way. And as I told him, sometimes setbacks are setups for bigger stuff to happen.
So preseason game on Thursday at the quarterback. So David Fales has not taken a snap, to my knowledge, in the preseason. So he'll probably get a lot of snaps.
Yeah, he'll get a look. You know, we'll get Brian Hoyer in there as well, get him more and more comfortable, you know, for moving into the regular season. But, you know, we still have a lot of work to do. We have some important spots to pick. They're still open, you know, especially on the bottom part of our roster. And it'll be, you know, fun to watch and see how guys compete in this last opportunity.
Yeah, with Hoyer, again, in a system that he is learning as well as trying to learn what's around him, but there have been issues regarding sickness and health, so that probably hasn't helped the picture either.
Well, I think, you know, even, you know, being truthful, I think, you know, we've had some guys miss, we've had some guys out. It doesn't really help in the development, you know, the continuity part of it. But the key is that we're whole and ready to go to Houston.
And you mentioned lots of decisions to be made at position groups. There's heck of a competition going on at various spots. Is it more than usual, maybe more than last year when you were cutting your roster down to have more decisions to make?
Yeah, I think we've improved.
Which would be a good sign.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I think we have improved. We're still kind of learning our team, learning our personality. There's a lot that goes into that as well as just the pure talent. But I think we're capable of way better than what we've shown, and particularly at home. And, we got a lot of work to do as we prepare for Houston.
We mentioned earlier Ted Larson's sick today at practice, but, you got to give this young man credit, too, because he's taking snaps in the preseason at all three interior line positions. And trying to latch down one spot is tough enough. Learning three, and, he's done them all in his career, but that's been a challenge for him, too, I'd imagine.
Well, I think it's been a challenge for everybody. The good news about that is you get a lot of important game-type reps as you prepare for a very long season, a 16-game NFL season. So that's valuable experience that you're accomplishing, yet doesn't do greatness or do great things for your continuity.
And what's your level of optimism on Kyle Long?
Very good. I think, we'll have to wait and see. When the medical people clear him, he moved around, looked pretty active today. He actually did some blow delivery things, as he works through his injury.
On the bags and stuff.
Yeah. So it's it's a good start, and hopefully he'll be full go here shortly.
And you're asking about Cornelius Edison today, and I always love these type of guys. I just love the journeys of some of these guys, and he had the unfortunate mishap of having an ACL tear at a workout for Seattle Seahawks, and he's come around, he's built himself back up, and he's in position to win a job on this team at some level, and maybe even needed in a bigger level than anybody ever imagined. So how did he look to you in the context of the entire offensive line?
Well, I think, he had some tough road to hoe because he played against Amadri Poe, a Pro Bowl nose tackle, an outstanding player against an outstanding defense, and for the first time out, it wasn't too big for him. I was actually pleased by the way he performed and the manner in which he went about the preparation.
That's the big key when it's not too big for guys. And you can spot it a mile away, can't you?
Yeah. It's it wasn't probably an ideal first experience for him. But, I thought he responded pretty well.
That is crazy when you think about it.
Yeah.
He's from Portland State, not to diminish what they did or what he's – it's an FCS program, and he was a great player at FCS level. But Dontarius Poe, are you kidding me? I mean, that's your assignment?
Yeah.
It's your first NFL, even preseason, yeah. Doesn't matter.
It wasn't all perfect.
That guy's licking his chops.
Exactly. It wasn't all perfect, but he actually responded very well.
All right. Bright spots of this preseason from your perspective.
Well, I think...
And it encompasses all the offseason, too.
Yeah, I think, I think we're improved in the offensive line when we're healthy. I think and that'll be hopefully in our first game before we, head to Houston to play the Texans. I think, we've kind of had some setbacks with Zach Miller being out so much at tight end, but we've had a chance to look at a lot of other guys. We're still evaluating that. I think the addition of a fullback in our offense, I think Paul Lisicki is really developed, which will can help our run game. Our running back situation, I think, is going to be better than what people anticipate. And then getting, Kevin White whole out there as well as Alshon. Eddie Royal is going to be back healthy. Mark Mariani is a very dependable guy. I think we've got some young, good receivers, some with some great speed, some with really good route running ability. So I think we've surrounded Jay with some more weapons that as we go and build that continuity, I think you'll see an improvement there. Defensively, we're young and inexperienced in the secondary right now because we have some injuries there with Bryce Callahan out, Kyle Fuller out. Tracy Porter was out of practice today, but he should be ready for Houston. The young safeties are just going to get better with time. Every once in a while, they'll still have some mistakes in there. But, I think, our front seven's definitely much improved. And, getting Jarrell and Danny Trevathan out there full-time will obviously help. So I think, all in all, I think we're improved. Now we've just got to do it on the field.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio on 105.9 FM. WBBM.
Takes the snap. Bears rush four. Throw is high. And it's intercepted by the Bears. DeAndre Hall on the tip. Takes it away. He runs it to the 18-19-yard line.
The significance of that is more than just the interception, in my opinion, where it came from. As the Chiefs are driving, and your red zone defense, I mean, touchdown efficiency-wise, you could say that was a silver lining in that performance. They really made some clutch plays and some clutch hits and tackles in that game, and that interception, obviously.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, as poorly as we played offensively in the first half, I think, and not that we are right on target defensively, but it was 13-0, and you know, a year ago at Arrowhead, we were down 17-3 and came back and won 18-17. So I do like the way our offense responded to start the third quarter. We went down on an 11-play drive. Unfortunately, didn't come away with points. We missed the field goal. And then I think in the first half, our defense kept us in the game with some good red zone stops, both by turnovers as well as on downs.
Some of the thumping that was going on, I mentioned Timu at one point in the game, but also Jarrell Freeman. Danny Trevathan's going to hit you in the mouth, and his pass coverage is outstanding. Is this some of the examples of what fans are going to come to expect with this 2016 defense? And you can throw Akeem Hicks in there and all the other guys in that front seven and the secondary. HJQ, he loves to hit you too, the safety.
Oh, yeah, he throws his body around, Harold does. And, you know, just getting more on spot, you know, getting whole as far as our first unit, building that continuity, building that consistency, whether it's in the O-line or, you know, even some of our secondary members getting back healthy. You know, and you mentioned the new guys, both Akeem's new to our system as well as Jarrell and Danny Trevathan. They've missed some time this training camp and this preseason. So, you know, with the regular season starting, you know, that's been the goal, is to get everybody ready and whole for Houston preparation.
And it includes a guy that everybody's missing because of his personality and what he means in that huddle. He brings the fire every day. That's Pernell McPhee, and you were asked about him today at length at after practice by the local media. But, you know, it's going to be a process, too, getting him back.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's been going through his rehab and trying to get that thing healed up. You know, he started the season on PUP, so there'll be options there as we move forward to pick our 53-man roster. And, you know, we've got time to still look at that, give him all the time he needs as part of his rehab, and we'll make that decision moving forward.
Any common denominator with your rookie class from what you've seen now? You're getting to know them every day a little bit more. It's a group that could find themselves on the field quite a bit this year.
Yeah, I think, you know, much like, you know, even last year, I know we missed Kevin White, but the other draft picks, you know, contributed quite a bit. I think, you know, Leonard Floyd, people will see a lot of. He may not start initially in the season, but he'll get a lot of playing time. He's a very fine athlete. You know, you go right through it. Cody Whitehair has started almost since day one. You know, obviously with the Hermanos Grasso injury, that sped up his development. You know, I think it's going to be important we get Kyle Long back out there, and hopefully that happens fairly soon. So, I mean, we've got some key guys that we need to get back in the lineup and give us a little bit of that depth that we've been missing.
All right, so the Browns are next Thursday in Cleveland. You'll leave on Wednesday. In terms of playing time and so forth, some years, you know, none of the starters get in. Depends on who's been here as a coach and so forth. So I don't know what you're going to do in terms of numbers because of what some of the injury situation has been. But has it changed dramatically how you personally approach a fourth preseason game, say, from the day you started as a head coach of the Carolina Panthers?
I think more and more people have gotten away from playing the starters almost at all. You know, back in the day when I first started, we'd give them a series, and you know, we haven't really decided yet. We'll make those evaluations Wednesday night as a staff in Cleveland. So we're still in wait and see how tomorrow's practice goes, and you know, we do practice again Wednesday, and then hit the road for Cleveland.
Would you like to play guys more, but do you have that in the back of your mind? You know what? What's the point at some level?
Well, I think at the end of the day, you know, if you don't have a lot of depth, and you got to make sure you keep your starting group whole, and you have to do that for a long NFL football season, you know, you tend to kind of shy away from throwing them out there in that final preseason game.
All right, John, we're out of time with you. Right. We'll be looking forward to the entire season. We appreciate your time.
All right, appreciate yours.
All right, coming up next, we're going to be joined by one of the Bears' new additions here 2 years ago, Jen Gibson, the Bears' sports science coordinator and dietitian. She'll be joining the Bears Coaches Show here coming up.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. And this hour featuring Bears sports science coordinator and sport dietitian Jen Gibson. Brought to you by Verizon, North Shore University Health System, United Airlines, and Miller Lite. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Absolutely. You know, we got a couple more guys, a little bit more for me with the scheme this year, including myself and Houston also, who obviously got off to a late start last year. But, I mean, like you say, we do have a lot more guys in positions that are a little bit more for me with the defensive schemes.
And that's allowed the Bears players to play a little faster, especially guys that have been in the full 2 years of the John Fox, Vic Fangio system defensively. Willie Young, one of them. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show. Jeff Joniak with Jen Gibson making her Bears Coaches Show radio debut. Glad to have you here. How are you?
I'm great. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. And you're one of the busier people around, that's for sure, running around the building, helping, in this case, 90 players get better every day. It's
Absolutely.
Quite the task, isn't it? And you have help this year. You have assistants.
I do. I have a great nutrition fellow this year, another female joining our staff, and it's been great to have some help.
So for those who are uninformed about the sports science of football now and what's been going on in a vast number of sports, not just the pro sports, but Olympic sports and so forth, give us a snapshot of what you do
yeah.
for those who don't really know.
So I'm a registered dietitian by trade, and kind of nutrition's my specialty area. But as part of the sports science program, what a lot of teams are doing, including the Bears, is looking for what are some of the things we can do to complement the current programs that we have that are just new. And so most teams will have a really strong strength and conditioning program, a really strong athletic therapy and sport medicine program, but there's other pieces of the pie that you can kind of layer on. And some of those things include nutrition, looking at recovery for our players, looking at new technology for our players, looking at sports psychology. So it's kind of part of my job to collaborate with our current staff, like our strength coach Jason George and our head trainer Nate Bresky, and kind of look at what else is going on that can also help us get a little bit more of an edge in terms of performance.
From your knowledge, so guys coming into the program that were rookies or undrafted rookies, maybe or maybe not had something like this in college. Are colleges doing this? And if not, that would seem like, okay, a piece of clay that you can now mold a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly, I'd say the leaders in sports science in the world right now are the Olympic sports. I came from the U.S. Olympic Committee, where we have an amazing sports science program. We have a amazing facility in Colorado Springs, and I think part of the amazing success we had this year for Team USA was part of the commitment they have to looking for every edge when it comes to sport performance. I'd say the Olympic sports are moving the charge, and colleges are starting to adapt it. Pro sport is starting to look at it. But what's exciting is that it's a new area for us, especially here at the Bears, and so there's a lot of room to grow.
No, for these guys, and they're just kids.
Yes.
They're 21, 22, 23 years mm-hmm. old, tops when they're coming into the NFL, and they're eating what they
yep.
can. You know,
yes.
So pizza and burgers are on the menu. It must make your skin crawl to some level, right? When you know what they've put in their body a little bit.
Absolutely. I think for a lot of guys, they are able to get away with certain things because they're young and they're healthy. But then when they become a pro, you know, their body truly is their job, and that's how they make a living. And so to look at it and care for it appropriately will not only help them in their performance on the field, but help their career. And I think a lot of our players recognize that at this level, and so we really want to try to embrace that and help them.
You're not that far removed from your Olympic duties, so who did you touch that won gold?
Well, I worked with combat sports when I was there, so judo, wrestling, taekwondo, boxing. So I know our Olympic gold medalist, Clarissa Shields, worked with her. Kayla Harrison, who was another gold medalist, judo player, and Travis Stevens, who won silver, worked with them both. On the diving front, I worked really closely with David Bedaya, who was a great performer, and Steele Johnson, who medaled as well. So it was fun to just know those athletes and to see them perform again and do so well.
Rewarding personally. I mean, you had a little bit to do with that, right?
I was part of their journey. Yeah,
yeah.
It was great.
Nice to hear. All right, we're going to take a break here with Jen Gibson at 7:08. One reminder, though, listen to the next Bears All Access Radio Show brought to you by Uber this Friday at 6 on WSCR 670 AM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows.
The Bears Coaches Show with Bears Sports Science Coordinator and Sport Dietitian Jen Gibson and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Very bad because I was essentially just coming in, doing rehab, and eating. That was about it, you know, because I was a little bit focused on gaining weight. But then once they kind of gave me the word that, you know, where they wanted me at, then it was easier to kind of get to the weight they wanted me at.
That's Cornelius Washington. Like several players in the National Football League and some who've come through Hallis Hall, you know, they have the body type, Jen, to be just about anything that a coach envisions or a scouting department envisions. And Cornelius was one of them, a gifted athlete, a unique size who can move for his position. And so conversation with him today, he started his NFL career at 260. He had to go up to 270 his second year. Then they had him at 305, learning a different position last year. Now back down to 285. He felt heavy a year ago, feels great now. He's coming off a quad tear the first week of the season last year. So he feels whole and he's making plays. How do you help in that process to deal with all that weight? I know your eyes just grew wide because it's probably a long conversation, but give us a Cliff Notes version, I guess.
Sure. So, yeah, you know, each player is kind of assigned a goal weight or a goal body composition, should I say. Because it's not just about what you weigh, it's what that weight is made of. So, you know, how much lean mass or muscle they have versus how much fat they want them to have. And so we work together, strength and conditioning and myself, we'll work together on that. And, of course, with the coaching staff to determine kind of an optimal playing weight for the player and an optimal body composition. And it can go up and down. And so it makes sense at the time. But, you know, what's great about our facility here at Hallis is we have a great cafeteria and a great food program here so that we can kind of customize to what the player's needs are. And, you know, gaining weight is just as hard as losing weight for our guys. So it's just kind of getting them to be disciplined about it and consistent. And it sounds really simple, but those are the kind of tenets of what the guys have to hold on to because they can eat great one day, and then if they just aren't consistent all week, it's not going to take hold per se. But it's really interesting with these guys because, you know, you can just watch them kind of change their body composition and get to a completely different kind of spot than they were the season before. So it's fun to work with them on that. It can be challenging to work with them on that because I can't control everything they do, especially when they leave the building. But it's definitely something that's an exciting part of our job here.
Well, no different than an assistant coach who is in that position room every day with these guys. These guys are interested in trying to learn anything that will put them in a position to succeed. So if they know and they believe and they feel that, okay, this coach has got me squared away if I just do X, Y, and Z, same is true for you. But that takes in your case, that takes time. That takes reps on the field. Hey, nature works on its own clock.
Yeah, and I always like to say that nutrition is a harder job because you have to eat, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a day. So whereas you can go to a meeting for a couple of hours and get your kind of marching orders or study during that time, you know, or go and do your team lift for an hour, nutrition is something that they have to think about almost like 5 training sessions per se every day. So it's to get them to dial in and try to at least make the right choices 80 or 90% of the time is often what we're trying to get the guys to do.
You also try to emphasize, I'm certain, that, you know, it's fuel. I mean, it's got to taste good, I guess, but, you know, you got to look at it as fuel as opposed to food and enjoyment.
Yeah, one of the common things I'll tell our guys is, you know, we always kind of have a battle with them a little bit about vegetables. And there's so many important minerals in vegetables that actually help our players heal. And as you know, with football, I mean, it's a high injury, kind of high, you know, stress sport. So actually vegetables are super important. A lot of guys just don't eat them. I think that's also a male thing. But, you know, so we try creative ways to help them eat their vegetables. And sometimes I'll say to them, you know, we'll juice them or we'll put them in smoothies, we'll hide them. But I always say to them, you know, there's usually probably one drill that your coach makes you do that you hate, but you do it anyway because it makes you feel better. That's how it is with our veggies. So just eat them anyway.
Well, I noticed the salad bar. Now, the beets, which I love beets. Mm-hmm. I love beets, but they're shredded now.
Yes. Yes, that makes them a little bit more palatable. Again, we kind of mix them into, you know, juices and things like that for the guys because they're actually really, really good for blood flow and circulation and provide some really good healing antioxidants too. So it's trying to be creative as well with our guys to get compliance.
I don't want to just narrow cast this to food only, because you mentioned earlier the psychology aspect of it, and you wear many hats, and I believe that would be one of the bigger ones, because there is a psychology to it. You're trying to get something across to somebody. I've seen you visit with players one-on-one, having interesting discussions, I'm sure, about you know, where they're at and so forth. Is that a big part of your job?
Yeah, I think with our guys, there's some formal meeting that goes on, and then, you know, you're with, I'm lucky because I'm with them every single day. So we can kind of catch up on the field or after practice and just kind of have small conversations. They're really busy in their time here, so we don't often have a lot of time to sit down for a couple hours together. So it's just kind of giving them a base plan, and then the benefit of being here every day is you can follow up with them at meals or follow up with them after practice to make sure they're on track.
Leonard Floyd is a perfect example. The media has asked a zillion times, hey, how much weight you've gained? Mm-hmm. But, you know, the process of maintaining lean muscle and adding the right weight, and that takes time for a young man to mature into his body, somewhere they have to intersect.
Absolutely. And I think something that we overfixate sometimes on a specific weight. And here, you know, Coach Fox always says we're a performance-based business. So the first priority for us is always performance. And so how he's moving and how he's playing is going to take number one precedent. And whether he's up 1 or 2 pounds, it really all comes down to how he's doing on the field. And so we're really happy with his progress so far. He's doing great. He's a really, really disciplined player that kind of follows everything we say to a T. So we're happy to be kind of out of, you know, the busy camp mode and have him back here so we can kind of get some more consistency with him. But he's been doing great, and in the end of the day, again, we can finagle with a few pounds here and there, but really Coach Fox is we look at performance first.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears. News Radio on 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Final moments here with Jen Gibson, our sports science coordinator and dietitian. Dehydration, how impactful is it? How dangerous can it be? And how can it mute a player's effectiveness?
Yeah, so most people know, obviously, hydration and dehydration, they know it as the cramp, the kind of the player seizing up and falling over and kind of having to be pulled out of the play. And that's kind of the very severe end of dehydration, which we do encounter with our players. What a lot of people don't realize is actually the early stages of dehydration, just at the very beginning phases, the first thing that gets affected is actually your mental concentration and your focus. And so obviously in football, all of our guys have to be dialed in mentally. And they have to be able to, you know, comprehend what's being asked of them and respond really quickly. So we're really, really hydration hounds around here in terms of just making sure we're mitigating even some of those lowest levels of dehydration that some of our players experience. Because, frankly, that'll start a cascade that'll obviously, as they continue to dehydrate, starts to manifest physically. But really early on, the cognition is what goes first.
Well, all you high school athletes out there, parents of high school football players, it doesn't mean Thursday night before Friday game you start pumping water. It's got to be a week-long deal.
Absolutely. And something we remind our players of is that hydration, unfortunately, is an everyday affair. So just because you hydrated really well yesterday, you kind of wake up, it's a new day, you've kind of have to replenish and restore as the day goes on. So just because you hydrated well on Monday doesn't mean that it's going to equate on Wednesday.
A dozen days before the season opener, what do you start telling guys?
Well, right now we're just trying to get everybody healthy and just kind of get everybody in their prime physical shape for the game. The season's a marathon, so for us, we are worried about our players in December now. So really just trying to adopt healthy practices, and we've been drilling things like hydration and recovery and just continuing to enforce those things. And then we'll be amplifying our program here with just some more resources and better programming as the season kicks in.
Jen, it was wonderful. We could spend a whole hour talking about this stuff. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
That's Jen Gibson. And earlier with John Fox, the discussion heading into the final week of the preseason.
We're hanging in there. I think everybody was pretty disappointed in the performance on Saturday versus Kansas City. I think we looked at the tape, made the evaluations, and had some of those evaluations today. Had a good practice, and as we get ready for Cleveland.
You got some special things to say to the fellas at this point?
Yeah, I think being consistent, coming ready to play, especially at home. I think there's a lot to be fixed. I think that was probably as rough a first half as I've watched in a while, and I'm sure it was for our fans, too.
You kind of scared me today because you said that, and you said now, just now, in a while. Earlier today, you didn't have the in a while. It scared me a little bit because, I mean, it wasn't good, obviously, but you've been coaching for a long darn time, so that scared me a little bit.
Yeah, no, it was, I think we just didn't perform very well. You know, I think first eight plays offensively, we had eight missed assignments, so that doesn't help you, and that's tough for anybody to overcome, including us.
You know, you mentioned home, too, and that's been something even before you got here. It's been several years now. Has it become a red flag in figuring out why it's such a slower issue here in Chicago when you're playing home games?
I don't really believe so. I can't speak for before me. I know last year we were not very good at 1-7, in the regular season. So, a lot of that sometimes in my experience has been, who you're playing, where you're playing as far as on the road and at home as far as the team you're playing. I think we played two pretty good teams, actually the first and second defense from a year ago in Denver and Kansas City, which isn't an excuse at all. We're capable of better. We know it. Our players know it. Our staff knows it. And now we just got to prove it.
The other thing about that is the silver lining in all this. You mentioned mental error, mental mistakes. I mean, those are correctable.
Yeah, they are.
They're not physical.
But, when you practice and prepare like we do and basically it's an open book test, you script it, you know it, then there's still errors. We're not making that transition right now as well as we need to be as far as knowing what to do, how to do it, and be able to execute it under pressure. And I think it's not a lack of effort. It's not a lack of want to. There's almost an edginess on not making mistakes. And you can't play football in the National Football League careful or cautious.
And I'm not trying to make excuses for the team by any means, but is it also a byproduct potentially of the now younger football team, A, and B, just some of these new guys? I mean, the roster's changed dramatically in 2 years.
Yeah, I think, it is guys that are, still young in their development, learning to play, but not exclusively. We have a lot of new faces, even with free agents, guys that have been veterans with other teams. They're still new to us, new to what we're doing. It takes a little bit of a transition, and, we've got to be able to make that next step, and I think we'll be better for it as we move forward.
Got to say, a total bummer about Connor Shaw, because you naturally keep your eyes on him because he's exciting. He's got a toughness that exudes right out of his pores of his skin. He did that way in college, too. So he suffers a pretty significant leg injury. And that, it seems like, has transferred over to the court. I mean, Willie Young was commenting on it today. It was a bummer. It's a bummer for that kid.
Yeah, there's no doubt. He's a great young man, one we're very excited to have in our organization. It's unfortunate and untimely. But, he had his surgery. He'll hopefully be getting out of the hospital here pretty soon. Then we'll start the rehab process. He'll be in the building, he'll be in that meeting room, and he can still be an inspiration to all those guys that are in that quarterback room.
That's Bears head coach John Fox. That's going to wrap up tonight's show. Tune into a special season preview edition of Bears Game Night Live this Sunday at 10:30 on Fox 32 Chicago. For Coach Fox and Jen Gibson, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks to our producer, Greg Miller, tonight. Producer Andy Gersher, studio producer Keith Johnson. Bears and Browns from Cleveland Thursday night. Pregame at 6, kickoff at 7. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. Thanks for listening.